Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Abby Larico. Black Democrats in St. Louis are preparing for a Republican push to dismantle the state's historically African-American 1st Congressional District.
I think they'll try. You know, I think the phone calls will come in to try to redistrict it. I mean, we've seen it happen state after state.
STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports on how defenders of the St. Louis-based 1st District plan to fight back against another congressional redistricting push. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Police in St. Louis are considering sending drones to emergency calls before officers arrive on scene. The Board of Police Commissioners will vote on the plan during a special meeting this morning. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department says the proposed aerial response unit would place 6 drones on docks around the city. They would be positioned based on crime trends, 911 call volume, and areas where police have responded most often. When a call comes in, a drone could launch and provide live video, thermal imaging, and real-time information to officers. Supporters say it would improve response times and officer safety. Critics, which include the ACLU, warn that it could expand into broader surveillance programs that infringe on people's privacy. Federal officials are touting successes after more FBI agents arrived in the St. Louis region. Last year, U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt announced that a group of FBI agents would work with local law enforcement agencies to fight crime. And yesterday, Schmidt and FBI co-deputy director Andrew Bailey told reporters that 91 people had been arrested between mid-April and early May. Bailey, a former Missouri attorney general, says the federal state operations were crucial in arresting people accused of things like drug trafficking and owning illegal firearms.
The people of St. Louis deserve safe streets and safe neighborhoods, and they should sleep comfortably, knowing that law enforcement is fighting every single day to restore order and security and safety to their communities.
Bailey told reporters that the operations resulted in the seizure of several $100,000 of cash, 3 stolen vehicles, and a, quote, significant amount of narcotics. He says while this operation was focused on urban and suburban areas, he added similar federal-state partnerships could occur in more rural parts of the state. 2 U.S. representatives say they're concerned about detainees at the St. Genevieve County Jail being held by ICE. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
Wesley Bell and Nikki Budzinski toured the jail yesterday and observed people laying on mats in some overcrowded cells. Some immigrant detainees said notaries are hard to access. They need notaries in order to sign off on important decisions, like child custody agreements. Other detainees said they don't receive enough water. Congressman Bell says these circumstances are unacceptable.
The narrative that these are criminals that are doing crimes and being picked up is completely false. These are regular working people.
The St. Genevieve County Jail is one of at least 4 in the state that contracts with the federal government to house people awaiting immigration proceedings. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis is accepting residents' comments on how the Rams settlement money should be spent until midnight tonight. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, the Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee also heard public comment yesterday on a bill that would allocate $230 million of the funds.
The bill carves out $110 million for tornado recovery, $65 million for infrastructure, and $55 million for downtown development. But tornado recovery advocates say that's not enough to cover the cost to rebuild. Michael McLemore with Action St. Louis says an extra $40 million would ensure each tornado-impacted resident gets enough assistance to make their home livable.
None of the projects mentioned here today, downtown or infrastructure improvements, works if one-third of the city is left in ruin.
Downtown development groups say the tax revenue generated by businesses downtown would go toward improvements across the city. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
A program to help St. Louisans buy their first home is back. Home STL gives out no-interest loans of up to $50,000 to people who purchase a home within the city of St. Louis. The program was so popular when it launched in 2024 that the city's development corporation says it quickly ran out of money. Home STL has resumed as of Tuesday with $1 million from the American Rescue Plan Act. Applicants do have to meet certain requirements to qualify, like not making more than 80% of the area median income, which would be about $90,000 for a family of four, and not having owned a home within the past 3 years. An approved homebuyer education course is also required. People affected by the May 2025 tornado are encouraged to apply. The Missouri legislature didn't pass any property tax reform before the end of its annual session. That's despite it being named as a priority. As STLPR's Lily Halloran reports, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they will try again next year.
The Senate passed legislation to insulate different types of property, like residential, from tax increases if assessments on another type of property, like commercial, go up. But that bill died in the House. Republican Representative Brian Seitz says it will probably come up again next year because cutting taxes will still be a priority. He says young people are looking for places with lower taxes.
They get to keep more of their own money, so they're fleeing the state. That bleeding needs to stop. So we're going to focus on the reduction of taxes in the next legislative session.
Democrats say the General Assembly should have prioritized property tax reform over a measure to eliminate the state income tax. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
A longtime St. Charles event venue that hosted thousands of weddings, proms, and other celebrations is about to be torn down. Demolition is set to begin Friday morning at the former Heart of St. Charles Banquet Center. The facility first opened in the 1960s as the Three Flags Restaurant and later became the Heart of St. Charles in 1992. The site overlooks the Missouri River and has been vacant since 2019. City leaders say the demolition clears the way for a new phase of redevelopment along the St. Charles Riverfront. Plans include a 92-room Fairfield Inn that's expected to open in 2028, with additional hotel and restaurant development in later phases. A redevelopment plan that hit a snag after a massive fire is moving forward near downtown St. Louis's riverfront. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, developers say they'll need more time.
Good Development Group's plan to create a $1.5 billion innovation district just south of the Arch will take more time than previously thought due to the November fire. It burned down four of the seven Crunden Martin buildings that were set to be a key part of the 100-acre redevelopment plan. At a meeting of the city's Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority Tuesday, Good Development Group asked for amendments to goals set out in a $155 million bond agreement. Those amendments would give the group more time to complete 255,000 square feet set to be redeveloped as part of the first phase of the agreement. A project representative told the board that four companies currently plan to develop a total of 145,000 square feet, but they need to find partners for the remaining property. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court's decision to weaken protection of majority-minority districts could lead to Missouri Republicans dismantling the St. Louis-based 1st Congressional District. But while some GOP officials are supportive of that move, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports that another Missouri redistricting gambit carries significant risk for Republicans.
In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court decision against the Voting Rights Act, Southern states like Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, and South Carolina pounced at the chance to eliminate majority-minority seats. Missouri's 1st District, which takes in St. Louis and some of St. Louis County, has had a majority or plurality of African-American residents for decades and could at least hypothetically be redrawn to be winnable for Republicans. Democratic State Representative Marty Murray of St. Louis is bracing for a fight.
I think they'll try. You know, I think the phone calls will come in to try to redistrict it. I mean, we've seen it happen state after state, so I wouldn't surprise me if it did. But if it does, then obviously we'll fight against it.
Murray is alluding to how Republican leaders, such as President Donald Trump, could once again pressure Missouri Republicans to pursue redistricting again. Trump pushed Governor Mike Kehoe in the General Assembly last year to divide Kansas City across three congressional districts, though that plan is still in limbo thanks in part to a bid to place the new lines up for a referendum. In any case, Republican Secretary of State Denny Hoskins definitely wants Missouri lawmakers to act in time for the 2028 election.
In fact, in other states like, I believe, Louisiana, Alabama, and other states, there are making changes to make sure that there's no more racial gerrymandering and that they don't have majority-minority districts where literally districts, I mean, that's the definition of racism, is drawing districts based on the color of one's skin. We don't want that in Missouri.
But Republicans like Hoskins have previously supported keeping the first district the way it is now for decades. That's because packing lots of Democrats into one seat helps Republicans in nearby congressional districts. St. Louis University law professor Anders Walker says placing parts of Democratic-leaning St. Louis and St. Louis County into districts that are solidly Republican is not a risk-free exercise.
And I don't know if it's really worth splitting up St. Louis. It may be more of a hassle than anything else.
Others are not sure that Missouri Republicans will follow Trump's marching orders again, especially since several national opinion polls show his approval ratings are between 30 and 35%. Democratic State Representative Steve Butts of St. Louis says his GOP colleagues would be foolish to do Trump's bidding again.
We do enough fighting about the maps and gerrymandering once every 10 years to say that this could conceivably happen every 2 or every 4 years. I hope that no one has the stomach for that. I mean, Republicans, independents, and Democrats, that's not good for anyone.
Black St. Louis Democrats say the fight to preserve the first district is about more than just partisan politics. Democratic State Representative Carla May of St. Louis says it's about preserving a seat that helped African Americans like herself accumulate tangible political power, and not just in Washington, D.C., but throughout the St. Louis region.
And I'm hoping that Missouri stands up and let their voices be heard and understand that representation for African Americans is just as important as any other representation.
Kehoe has said he won't call a special session this year to redraw the state's congressional maps. So any serious GOP effort to target the first district won't happen until 2027 at the earliest. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.